Listen to Melanated Mom's podcast,
because she has something to say.
Oh, yeah, I'm a melanated mom, working hard as can be. I show up for my children while showing up for me. I'm a melanated mom.
Hey, mamas, how's it going? Welcome back to another edition of the Melanated Mom Podcast, where we raise creative, innovative, and independent thinkers, but in the process, we do not forget about ourselves. You know, y'all, I never quite know if I say that like at the beginning of the podcast when I first start interviewing a person, so I always have to say it over because I never go back and listen to the podcast again before I do this intro. That would be too much like right for me to do. I pray that everybody is having a fantastic, a dope, and amazing weekend. I am having an amazing weekend, looking forward to having an amazing week, and just happy to be back here with you guys. So I am still in the transparent. See how I be getting that wrong? I told you I'll be getting it wrong all the time. Transparent Mommy Moment series. This is the last person that I will be interviewing for this series, and you are really going to enjoy her just because she is super funny. She has a way of making something that probably should not be that funny a very funny story. This is maybe her third time on the podcast, for sure her second time on the podcast, and just has a very vibrant spirit. So you are going to enjoy her story thoroughly. And we just had a real good discussion and dialogue about how to keep it moving. Like, okay, that's over. I messed that up. That wasn't right. And now we're going to move right on with life. So you're going to enjoy hearing from Dani today. I can't wait for her to tell you her story. Before we jump into that, though, I am going to read another one of the reviews. Y'all going to start thinking I'm like paying people to give me reviews, because like literally I know all these people from the last reviews from the podcasting world. But this is from my girl, my sister friend, my podcast homie, Lene Renee. I love her. She is the host of Thoughts of a Blog Queen podcast. Please go over and listen to that. And she says, all mothers need to subscribe to this podcast. She is always so positive and encouraging to the mommies out there, and we all need to hear that voice sometimes. Please add this to your library. 5-star recommended. Thank you so much, Lorraine. And like I said, go right now and subscribe to Thoughts of a Blog Queen podcast. You will thoroughly enjoy that. And so, you know how I just read that review? I could be reading your review as well, but you would have to leave me one first. So, like I tell you every week, I am only familiar with Apple Podcasts. So that is a good place for you to go and leave me a review and tell me how I'm doing and boost up my self-esteem and all that good stuff. I really appreciate you in advance. And I think that's all I have to say at the top of the podcast. It's really long, so I don't want to hold you here too long. Again, I hope that you are enjoying your weekend. It's the weekend here, and I hope that the week will go just as well. All right, I'll talk to you all soon. Hey, mamas. Thanks for joining me for another edition of the Melanated Mom Podcast, where we raise creative, innovative, and independent thinkers. But in the process, we do not forget about ourselves. I decided to start a series about transparent mommy moments. So this is the second interview that I've done in the season. And this is someone that I have interviewed before. I love her energy. I love her spirit. So I decided to have her back for this series. And I would like to welcome Dani and have Dani tell us a little bit about herself and her family.
Oh, hey guys. So I'm Dani. I have 5 children. They are all adults. My youngest child actually just turned 18 last year, at the end of last year. So I'm working with a bunch of young adults right now. I'm in the second phase parenting. I run a podcast that is the Just Saying podcast, where I basically talk about anything and everything, depending on what the internet streets are telling me to talk about. I think that's about it. I'm over here in on the East Coast where it's cold, but I'm walking these quarantine streets like everybody else.
Man, we were talking about that before we got on the call, and it's crazy out here. She's talking about going to the stores. I'm like, look, I ain't even been to the store because these people don't know how to give you no space.
Double masking out here at these stores. double masking.
Man, crazy, crazy times. But, you know, I am just happy and blessed that most people that I know, their families have been well and safe and just trying to stay indoors. So I'm hoping that all of this will be over very soon.
Yes, I hope so. Me yes. too. But I also just want to say really quickly, outside 1.0 won't see me. I'll be waiting for the outside 2.0 when everybody, you know, check out the first version.
Girl, please don't play with me. Like, y'all go out there and test outside. Let me know how it is, you know.
Yes, and then I'll come out on the second go round. I come out on the second batch of outside.
Man, I was just thinking the same thing because I don't think 1.0, I don't think it's going to be, it ain't going to be quite right.
Like, I don't trust the outside 1.0. I'll come out. I'm taking the second go round on the outside.
Man, I'm right there with you. I still think things are going to be a little sparse too. I think it's a lot of people who ain't going to be on that 1.0, okay?
That's all I'm saying. Start telling everybody.
Right, get
right. Outside 2.0, not outside exactly. 1.0. It's not going to work.
Look, it's a whole different ball game. I just want to make sure. Y'all go ahead and dip y'all toe in the water and let me know how.
Exactly. Exactly.
So today, for the transparent mommy moment, Dani has a story to share with us. So I'm going to go ahead and let her share that story. And the reason for this series, let me say this, and I don't know if I said it in the first one, but I think the reason for this series is to let us know that when we are in this mom life, doing this mom thing, we're not alone. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that we look at a lot of things that look perfect, me included. You know, you look at people's families and you think they're running these perfect families and they have these perfect children. But I think that when we're able to share these moments with each other and let each other know that, hey, you know what? I've been in this tough place with my kids or my family, and I was still able to make it through. And that really helps people. That helps somebody. When somebody shows up for me and says, girl, I be having these problems in my marriages too, or my kids act crazy too. I'm like, okay, so I don't feel like I'm too off kilter with that. So this was my reason for starting this series, is to show other people that there are other moms out here that are struggling through it as well. And that doesn't mean that, you know, the end result can't be great. So I really appreciate you sharing this story with the audience, Dani.
No problem. Absolutely. Anytime I can share any kind of stories about parenting, I'm always open for it. I have 5 children, which means it's 5 personalities. I have seen and done a lot of things. So anytime I can help with that, I'm always here.
And I think that's true. These are truly the people that are going to change the way that we think about motherhood. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and tell us what all you would like for us to know about your story, whatever you feel comfortable sharing with my audience.
Okay, so as I just said, my daughter is 18 now, but about 5 years ago, she was 13. We got into horrible adolescent struggles with her and I. I had just moved my family because I broke up with someone we were living with, and so we had to go to a new neighborhood. We actually moved to a new city, and I was kind of more into my own feelings, that there were a lot of things I wasn't paying attention to as a parent. Looking back now, I realized that, but at the time I was just, you know, heartbreak. And so we were just on a struggle. I worked nights, so I slept during the day, which also gave her the opportunity to kind of be outside more because I was asleep, and her siblings was doing their own thing too. So she was, you know, getting in trouble as teenagers do, doing nothing that was extra or anything, but she got on punishment. And you know, at 13, you like boys. And so she was interested in a boy. And I was giving her, because the punishment, she was on punishment for like 2 weeks, but I would tell her like every other day you could go on the porch. So if you wanted to have a friend on the porch, that was fine, but you can't go past the porch. And it was a Sunday, and the little boy that she liked plays drums at a church that was on my street. So she asked me, can she go to the church? And I tell her, we can go to the church. So I got dressed and we walked over to the church. It was like three doors down from my house. And we walked to the church and we're sitting there, and I'm paying attention to the service, but then I start to notice that she just seems a little weird. And I noticed that she's like making googly eyes at the drummer boy. So I'm telling her, like, get yourself together. We're not going to do this. And she says, she's like, you know, I'm just looking. I'm not doing anything. And I'm getting annoyed because she's 13 and 13-year-olds are annoying. And service is going on. And so she starts, like, thumping down in the pew, and she's getting agitated and stuff. So then she says, oh, I'm going to go use the bathroom. So I say, okay. She gets up, walks to the back. The bathroom is downstairs. But maybe just a few seconds after she walks to go use the bathroom, drummer boy don't need the drum anymore, and he's getting up from the drums. So I get up myself, go downstairs, and I see them downstairs trying to like embrace. And I'm like, oh, hells no. We can't do this. We at church too? Get yourself out the church. You ain't even here for church. So now I'm like, get out the church. Let's go be outside. And so now she's outside, but she's embarrassed because, you know, I stopped all of this in front of this boy. So she's mad because I embarrassed her. And there's not really a lot of yelling. I'm not a big yeller. So, because my voice sounds more childlike the higher it gets. So it for me, it doesn't seem like it's effective. So I'm just talking to her like, you know, I can't believe you brought me all the way over here, even though it's three doors down. But I still feel like, I can't believe you brought me all the way over here. Because remember, I'm still in my feelings about my own heartache. I really don't care about you and some little boy playing the drums at the church today. And so I'm telling her like, you know, you embarrassed me in front of these church people because everybody could see you looking at him, and now y'all going downstairs and I don't got time to talk about nobody's mama. And I'm going into this whole thing like, you know, because if you think you having a baby on me, like I went in extreme.
Like you went all the way there. Okay.
I did. I went in. I was very upset because we didn't need to do this. He gonna get out of church and it's three doors down. If you sit on the porch, you could have seen him when he came out. Like, I just felt like it was just, you're being too much. But I feel like 13-year-olds are too much anyway. So on a regular, they just trying so much stuff that this, like, you too much, sit down. So she's mad because I'm not letting her stay and I'm embarrassing her. And so now she's saying she don't want to walk to the house with me. And I grab her arm, like her wrist, and I'm trying to like drag her over, like, let's go. We're in the house. You're not even outside today. You messed up your porch time. So you have to go. And she pulls away from me. So I'm telling her, listen, little girl, I will not chase you. So get over here. Let's go. Get in the house. And she takes off running. I initially was just kind of like, whatever, I'm not even in the mood. So I went in the house and do what parents do. I called my best friend and was like, let me tell you how this girl get on my nerves. So I vented to her for a good while. And then, you know, I just kind of tried to calm myself down. And after a while, I realized it's getting dark. So she know her curfew, and I'm looking at the clock like, all right, she better get in here. And after a while, she was not home. So I tell one of my daughters, let's go look for her. It's dark. I'm in a neighborhood I don't know, trying to walk around looking for her. What really started to concern me was that it started to snow. And she did not have a coat on. So we're walking around the neighborhood. I don't know why we were walking, but for whatever reason, we're walking around the neighborhood carrying her coat in the snow, calling people. I don't know anybody in this neighborhood. I did know someone who knew, who had family in the neighborhood. So I was calling them saying, can you please help me? Because I'm looking for my daughter. Because at this time, I mean, we left the church. It probably was like 11 o'clock in the morning. It's now 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, wow.
And so and it's a neighborhood I don't know. I'm walking in the dark. I don't know who or where to go. My daughter knew like one of her friends. So we went to that house. There was nobody there. Somebody sent us to another house. We saw some kids out. My daughter, you know, was saying, oh, well, she, you know, she's with these kids. So we went to go look for those kids, and those kids sent me to another house. It was like a wild goose chase. And I did not find her. The clock just kept rolling and she was not coming home. So I was really trying to be calm. It hit midnight. She was still not home. And now I'm panicking because I'm like, where is my child? And also embarrassed because I didn't know where to look anymore. And I didn't know who to call, and anybody that I thought to call, it also felt like embarrassed to say, you know, she ran away. Because
it's crazy. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's
no,
crazy
fine.
How we think that we're prepared to like handle situations, right? But like if somebody runs away from you or somebody is missing, in that moment, you don't even know what to do. Like you said, you were walking around. Like, why was I walking around? Why wasn't I driving around? You don't think straight, right?
and there is no manual for these type of situations.
Right.
Like, we don't, as parents, talk about, you know, when these things come up, which was why this is awesome. And I really wanted to be a part of this because, no, I didn't have anybody that I could call to say, when your child ran away,
right,
what did you do?
Right.
What did you do to get this together? And so it was very, very weird for me. And so, you know, the night came and I still had four other kids at the house. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of like, you have to, like, I was in a panic because I didn't know where she was. I didn't want my children to get into a panic. So I was trying to still be calm. And they like that. I still needed to feed them and everything. So It every time I tell this story, I'm like, it's really, really weird, but I also still order pizza. And it like, I didn't know what else to do because I couldn't find her. So I'm on the phone ordering pizza. And while I'm ordering the pizza, I'm going, I am ordering pizza while my daughter is missing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This doesn't even make sense. Like, you know, what, but like they still have to eat. So what do I do? So I just said, you know, for me, all I could do at that moment, I felt like, was pray about the situation. But then in the morning, because she had been gone so long, I did send out a Facebook message and early in the morning, say, I'm looking for my daughter. And I called some people. And so I called people that night. And then everybody started showing up in the morning. We're just going to take the neighborhood and look for her. So we got in a bunch of cars. There were like four cars of people looking. My brother came from the whole other side of the city to help look. And we couldn't find her for like 3 hours. We were looking. We still couldn't find her. So one of my friends said, you know, I think it's time we have to go to the police station. And you know, you want to feel like as a parent, it's like if I go to the police station, that means I don't have a handle on this. And I have to tell the city or the state to like help me find my child. It felt so embarrassing. Like I was completely embarrassed. I was embarrassed in front of my friends. I was like, everybody kept wanting like, what's the big deal? And I was like, she was embarrassed because of a boy. I don't even know what's happening right now.
Right.
So we went to the police station. The police take your phone number. They want your social security number. They want a lot of information that I kept being like, I need y'all to go look for my daughter. Like all this
stuff we can do after you find her. You collecting all the world, and I need you to be out.
Yes, and I was so irritated because it didn't make any sense. So I kind of left the police station feeling like they are not going to help me. We started looking again, and I came across one of her friends. One of her friends said, I'm not a snitch, but there's a house down that way. Literally was what this little girl said. There's a house down that way where a lot of kids hang out, and sometimes the lady whose house it is lets people stay at her house. So we head down that way. She kind of told us where it was at. It was like by the library. So we went down by the library, found the house. And when I pulled up, there were police sitting down the block. So I go up to the police and I say, my daughter is in the yard. And the police officer said, well, we figured that she would be here, but we weren't sure exactly which child we were looking for. So I give them, I'm looking at them. She's not, for some reason, they weren't paying attention to us. So I tell them what she's wearing. The officers get out the car. They go up to approach the group of kids in the yard. And my daughter takes off running.
Oh.
I mean, she is a track star at this point. I was fascinated because I was like, I didn't even know she knew how to run like this. I've never seen it. She didn't even run this fast when she left me. So,
like, so you've been missing and you're a track star.
Yes. I did not know. So my brother takes off in his car. The police run. There's two officers running behind her, which already it gave me so much anxiety. And there was another guy in an officer in his truck, and he was like speeding off, and they're like chasing her around the neighborhood. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to go sit at the house and wait because I can't. So I go and I sit at the house and wait. And the police get her. They call me and they say, we have her in our car. Do you want to come pick her up? So I go and I pick her up. We put her in the car, put her in my car. She's really upset. And the officer says, you know, we picked her up, and when we picked her up, we asked her, you know, is there something going on at home? And she was like, no. And they said, does your mom have like a boyfriend that you don't approve of? Is there a boyfriend treating you mean? And she was like, no, my mom doesn't have a boyfriend. And then they were like, well, is she doing drugs? And she's like, no, my mom doesn't do drugs. We go to church all the time. Like, she kept saying all these no's, and they were like, we told her, you know, you went really drastic then for what happened. So then she was like, yeah, but I stayed out too late, and then I missed my curfew, so I didn't think I could come home. And the officer was like, honey, we did all of this because you didn't think you could go home because you missed curfew. Now, let me give you a backstory. She is the youngest of five. And so when she was 13, her oldest, my oldest child was 18. She was 19 years old. There is a rule in my house when you hit 18 that you can go outside and do what you wish, but my door has a curfew and you cannot come into my door after a certain hour. So what in her 13-year-old mind assumed was that she also had that same curfew rule. And so since she missed her curfew, she was saying she didn't think she could come back into the house that night. So she asked somebody, could she spend the night at their house? And they said, yeah. So the officer was saying, like, she explained this to them. And I was trying to explain to the police officer, you know, this is my 18-year-old does have a curfew. My 19-year-old and my 18-year-old have a curfew, the door and all of this. And he was saying, like, yeah, it just seems like it didn't translate well for her. And, you know, you might need to have some conversations with her because this is really drastic. And they spoke to her about it. Once we got her home, though, now she's embarrassed again because all of this hoopla has happened. And I think she really just thought she could just hang out with her friends a little while in the morning and then just come back to the house like, hey.
Like it was nothing, right?
Because because talking to her, she was saying like, well, I knew when I came home, I was going to be on punishment longer. So I was trying to hang out with my friends before I came home to be back on punishment. And I was like, this is why 13-year-olds drive me insane. So we came in the house and my brother was upset. Her siblings were upset. Actually, one of the older girls had a fight because she was so upset about all of the emotions now were trying to come down, and they started yelling. They fought in the front yard, and I was like, y'all, we have got to pull ourselves together. So we got into the house, and I was saying, this is the time. My daughter's father was at the house at this point and everything. And so I was saying, this is the time for you to get off your chest whatever you need to, because we can't have this life again. And she said a couple of things. Mostly what she was upset about was her father. They were trying to get their relationship together, and it was really, really rocky at this time too. So it was like, I wasn't giving her enough attention because I was worried about me. He definitely wasn't giving her enough attention because he was worried about him. And she let her feelings out about all of that. And I thought it would be over. You know, we kind of settled on some things. She was definitely on punishment even longer, got some things taken away, more restricted. But I thought that that would be the end of it. But 13 don't stop. So she got off of punishment and started going out with another group of kids. It was like immediately she found another group of kids. And I was at my house getting ready for work, and I got a phone call from a number I didn't recognize, but something just told me to answer it. I don't always answer the numbers I don't know. But something told me to answer this one, and it was the city police. And they said they had my daughter at the local jail. We lived in a small city, so it was like their local jail. And they were like, we have her down here at the police station. We need you to come get her. I had no understanding of this. Like, what do you mean? So I go down to the police station to get her, and she's in a little cell.
Oh wow.
And my heart dropped, and I was like, what is this? Who am I? Like, I was trying to figure out, like, who am I? Like, what am I? What was happening? Because none of this seemed real. It was like, I don't understand. So there was a police officer, a female police officer. She came out and she said, I just want to talk to you for a moment about your daughter. And I said, okay. And she said, we picked her up because she was fighting outside. She got into a fight after people were talking about the situation when she ran away, and she didn't like that. So then she got into a fight, but she fought at like a convenience store. And they called the police. Both of the girls got arrested. And, you know, when I got down there, the other girl had just gotten picked up by her parents. So the officer was saying, you seem to be a good mother. And talking to your daughter, she speaks very highly of you. She said, you all aren't from here. And I said, no, we just we only been living here like 8 months. And she said, you need to leave this city. It's not good for your daughter. This isn't a good place for her. I'm not going to say whether it's her or the people, but it doesn't seem like a mesh. So if you can relocate, I would suggest you do so. Or she's going to get sink further into a place that we don't need her to go. I spent another 5 months looking for something else. And then we moved out of that city to where we are now. And she has not been arrested. She has not really got no more trouble than like typical teenage stuff since then. It was a complete turn once she got away from, once I got her out of that environment, I don't want to necessarily say that it was those people, but those people and my child did not mix together well at all. Mm-hmm. Like I said, she still gets into teenage trouble, but we haven't had any drastic situations since she stopped associating herself with those people. Now, I want to say to all the people, I'm not a mom that says my daughter ain't no trouble if people just get her. No, I am definitely one of these moms who talks to my kids like, you take you wherever you go, and you know, you have to take your own responsibility for your own actions. And we have had many, many talks, which you know, I think contributed to the turnaround. Also, I had to evaluate my own self and realize how much I was worried about somebody that wasn't good for me and that I no longer was with, and I was giving too much energy to that, and I wasn't being a full and complete mom, and I had to step my game up. So,
and I'm glad you touched on that as well, because it's so easy for us to say all the things that our kids aren't doing or what they should be doing with their underdeveloped brains, okay? They are not in a position to make wise decisions.
Right.
We are. So what part of, what can we do better? So you saying that, you know, you got her out of that situation, out of that neighborhood, you and her father came together and had some conversations and opened it up to her for her to be able to communicate with you some of the things that she was feeling about her family life or what she wasn't getting. That's
right.
Things that we have to be open to do. And a lot of times we don't want to hear from them. We just
right.
Say, oh, you didn't do what I told you to do. You in more trouble, you know?
Right. And that's a hard thing to do. By the time I got to the last one, though, I had had a little bit more practice on it. But it's still a hard thing to do, to become vulnerable to your children. I had to apologize to her to let her know, like, I understand that I dropped the ball on some things, because there are some things that I should have been doing more of for you that I didn't, that allowed you to get to this space, because you don't know how to be safe for yourself. That's my job, and I didn't do that. So I had to, you got to really like humble yourself to get to that space, to apologize to your children and admit that you were wrong. And then, you know, we just had to come up with some plans on like more things that we could do together, more places, you know, to direct her time and energy, which is what I did not do, but what I did do with my younger children. I mean, with my older children. So it was on me. I understood that it was on me, that I dropped the ball and allow her to get into unsafe spaces. And I had to take that responsibility. And it was hard to deal with, because, you know, there's no coming back from that. Once everybody know, once people know that, like, your daughter ran away, people judge you. And they it's always like, oh, it definitely must be. And then you get this whole thing about, well, did you whoop her? You needed to whoop her. And it was like, I don't really know. For me, I'm not a whooper parent. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, she's 13. I need to talk to her to figure out some things. I don't really think hitting her and sending her to a room is really going to resolve whatever the issues are that really made her think that running away was the best idea. And I felt like I have four other children that never ran away. So I'm capable of handling situations. What do I do? And so we had wonderful talks. Some of them were very, very rough, and but we're at a good space now where even at 18, she's very transparent about her life. She lets me know what she's thinking, because she knows she could think out things with me, and there's not too much judgment. And you know, for me, being a parent of young adults now, I understand the space of suggesting instead of demanding. So by the time she hit 18, we hit a very comfortable stride with each other on, you know, how things should work and what things look like, because she's seen what the process looks like and how she can do this without trying to be super defiant about things. Now, she missed curfew. Teenagers gonna do that. But mm-hmm. I don't really trip too much because I've already had four other kids who miss curfew. So by the time I got to the last one, it was just like, you know what the rule is. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to yell because I can't get myself worked up and stressed up. But, you know, respect my space and respect my house. And that's kind of where we are now. So it works great.
Yeah, you said some really key things. And I think just like by having that open communication, it makes a world of difference. And I think the earlier that we can tap into that, the better relationship that we can have with our kids. I hear like so many parents at a, you know, when their kids are 2, 3, 5, 7, whatever, like those really young ages, who they know how they gonna put the smack down. They got the
right.
They got the... my kid ain't gonna do that thing. Look, never say never, okay?
Do not. Do not.
You don't know what's gonna be happening in these parenting streets at all.
You have no idea. You have no idea. And there's so many things that will show up, especially when you have, like, you know, multiple children. There's so many things that will show up at the same time that you can't, nobody can really pre-warn you about how you're going to handle situations, and you can't just say what you would do in any of these situations, because until it hits your home, you have no idea what it feels like. You have no idea, you know, what the aftermath is, because one of the aftermaths for me is there were times like when I would have to punish her later that it still gave me a little bit of pause to be like, if I say, like, you have to stay in the house, are you going to run away? And like, right. You know, what is that for? So I lost security of my position a little bit for a little while, because I was still afraid that anything that I said may lead her to take a run.
Exactly.
All
the stuff that I think that is not really thought about, even the times when you were saying that you might be embarrassed or you felt embarrassed. And it's like, but there's no reason for us as a parent, and I'm going to say mother because I'm mostly speaking to mothers on this podcast, because we can't control a whole nother person.
Right.
I really need people to understand that as much control as you think you have over your kids, you really have zero control over them.
So true.
All you could do is show up and be the person that you're being and guide them in the way that you guide them, and then the way that they respond to it is not you. And I think that if we get that early enough, then we don't have to feel guilty or embarrassed or upset or whatever about a situation, because we can't control that person's behavior.
Absolutely. And I'm not embarrassed now. Like, I will tell these parenting stories anytime now, because I just kind of feel like, you know, like you said, given this platform to be able to speak to people and let them know, like, if these situations arise, it doesn't make you a bad parent. It doesn't make me a bad parent because my daughter ran away. It doesn't make me a bad parent that she felt a kind of way about how I was doing things. Like, the person that you are sometimes doesn't line up with the mother that you want to be. And
man, and, like, that's good.
Mm-hmm. You can't do perfection at all times. And so the person that I was outside of being a mother was hurt. And that clouded my judgment as a mother at the time. And I was not able to tell people and express to people, because in those moments you can't say, well, she probably ran away because I ain't been on my mother game good because my heart is broke. Nobody wanted to hear that at that time. People wanted to hear like some extravagant, horrible story about why she would run away, and it wasn't the time to give it. So I gave into embarrassment. But at this point, I'm like, you know, I just need mothers to know your teenagers are trying to find themselves as well.
Yes.
And when they are trying to find themselves, the decisions they make will not be the best a good amount of the time, because they just testing out the water on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make you a bad parent, and it doesn't make them a bad child. Times are going to be difficult, but you guys can navigate through that thing without trying to think that you have to, like, make it perfect today. I just, you know, communication is very, very important with your kids. And you have to be honest with yourself to be like, this ain't a good moment for me. Like, I don't know what to do. And if you're at, I don't know what to do, admitting that to even just yourself will help you to try to process what possibilities you can have in the moment.
Exactly. Allowing yourself to be human. And even at this stage in the game, I mean, my youngest is 6. I still allow them to let me to be human, that they get to see me be human. And I say it all the time. It's probably like my favorite tagline they get sick of. It's like, I am a human being.
Yes.
So if I didn't respond like the way that, you know, I should have responded, or if I lash out, or if I'm sad or whatever, it's because I'm a person. And I think that the earlier that they get that and know that, then they can be like, oh, okay. So yeah, she is allowed to make mistakes too. She doesn't always get it right. She doesn't have all the answers, and it's okay. And I think that's why it's so important to talk to moms that have actually been through things, because when your kid is 7, you can't tell me about nothing what you're going to be doing with them when they're 15.
Absolutely not.
Those are two different people.
They are two different people. When your children turn to adolescence, that person isn't even a person. It's the transformation of a person. So, like, they're still a little kid, and then they think they can be grown, and they're trying to figure out what adult means, and they're also trying to still be a little kid because that's their comfort zone. And so you can't decide what they are going to do in that adolescent phase, because every day is a new day. It's completely new. It's just like, you know, they wake up one day and they hate everything. Like, you like all this stuff yesterday. So and it just, you know, it if you don't have conversations like you allow, Tracy, then you can wake up as a mom and just be like, you know, obviously I'm not good at any of these things now because I don't know what's going on. And it's not a reflection on you when your children are starting to try to figure out who they are. It's not a reflection of your parenting thus far.
I definitely agree with that.
Yes, it really is not. If you are just open to and understanding that we're about to come up on this adolescent phase, and that's going to be different. So I can't do everything exactly as I did when they were, you know, kids and toddlers and preteens, and I can't do everything exactly. If you have a window open for your transformation as a parent as well, and be honest with them and be like, we both gonna make some mistakes up in here, but I'm ready to ride. If you ready to ride, then it'll work smoother than just being like, everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be exactly like this. And don't compare yourself to nobody else parenting, because your house and their house is not the same.
It's not. And how your kids respond to things is not how their kids respond to things. I'm always saying, head down, eyes on your own paper.
Yes.
Are you looking at your test? Because you're around at everybody else's test, you're gonna be real jacked up.
Yes.
You're not gonna be able to tell the top from the bottom. So you really have to just say, okay, this is my situation and this is how this is working out. And even go as so far as to, I know with my oldest who's 24, remove him from situations that other people are trying to compare us to other people. Oh, so you want to compare my family to that family or whatever? Okay, so we're going to see you later. We're going to catch you on the flip side.
Right. Right. I'm going to have to distance myself from you because I see you trying to be unhealthy with how I'm parenting, and that ain't going to work.
Not for me. And you ain't in here doing nothing. You ain't paying no bill. You ain't helping. You're not involved in this. So
right, because you don't know all the scenarios going on in the dynamics going on in this house. So you can't make decisions for what I need to do and what I'm going to do based off of what's going on over there. Because they don't go together. So just like, back away, put your mask on, stay 6 feet away from me. Let's double it up and hit a 12, and I'm going to handle me over here.
Thank you. And that's how it goes. And one more thing I would like to say about it too is also like giving your kids the tools to be prepared to deal with life in such a way that benefits them or suits them. And just getting them to see different things and open up their eyes to different things. So I'll say this for example, my daughter has a friend, and you know, since everything has been going on, they've been FaceTiming or whatever, because that's what the kids are doing for play dates, right?
Right.
So they're on the phone FaceTiming, and they usually like playing dolls or whatever or doing something. But I noticed the friend trying to be a little controlling. The friend went and got like a ukulele and was just singing on the phone to my daughter. My daughter was just like looking because she's polite. And, you know, I mean, she's not going to say anything. But I'm like, she's not, you are not her captive audience. Okay.
Right.
So if
right.
you guys are playing on the phone together and playing dolls and talking and taking turns to you show something and she shows something, that's fine. But I want to put it in you that you are not here to be somebody's captive audience. That's something you call your grandmama to do, to play the ukulele. Right. You're not playing the ukulele for us. So I'm just like trying to like drop these small nuggets in about what you are allowed to say is okay for your life. What you right. like, what you don't like. You don't have to do stuff that other people want you to do. You have to be comfortable with decisions that you make. And that starts young. And so those are the things that we kind of have some, not even control over. It's something that we can guide in a way to say, okay, I remember when my mom said that, okay, I have a choice in this matter. It might be the choice in between getting in a car with somebody who did something they're not supposed to do and walking home.
Right.
These little nuggets right here help them to form that stuff. So all we could do is drop the nuggets and be okay being who we are.
Yes. And that's it. You got to kind of be comfortable. I mean, I want to go back to you when you said, like, you know, you don't know what to do. It's like you're laying in the bed and just be like, who really gave me authority to make decisions about some of these things? Because, like, I have no clue what I just made all of that up that I just said 20 minutes ago, and I have no idea if that's right or not.
I hope it works.
Sometimes I feel like when I'm talking, especially now when I'm talking to like my young adults, I'm saying things and I'm just like, this sounds really good. I hope this works later. I can't wait for the feedback on this, because who gave me the right to have authority over this thing? Like, who gave me the right to figure out a runaway? I don't know. I never had one. I didn't have friends who ran away. I don't even know. Like, but now I have to be an authority on this right now.
Right.
And you do. You have to, if it starts early on, you just giving those nuggets to your kids to try to, you know, help them to be the best them, and you open up the line of communication. I know that we've heard that a thousand times, but it really is true that if there is an open door for your children to speak what they think without a lot of judgment, even if you keep trying to say like, that is completely wrong. I don't know where you got that thought process from, but like, no, if they're comfortable saying it, then you know how they think, so that sometimes some things may come up that you won't be like, wait a minute, what just happened? You know, 'cause I didn't have that line of communication open with my youngest. And so when we hit runaway, I was completely shocked because I have four others and we didn't have any of this kind of situation. So it was an evaluation of myself. Like, what did I do differently with her that I didn't do with the others? So you have to be transparent and drop them early.
That is for sure. So if you could leave moms with one piece of advice about just being in the mom game, what would that be, Danny?
You don't have to know everything all the time, and be honest with yourself when you don't know everything. It'll make it easier for you to take suggestion from other people and ask. Let people know when you don't know. Ask somebody, because there is somebody willing to assist you. Even if they don't have the answer, they're willing to help you talk it through so that you can try to figure out the best thing for your home. If you have a spouse, do that. If you are co-parenting well, use them. If not, there's always a family member or a friend who will help you. But just admit, you have to admit that you don't know, and be comfortable knowing that when you don't know doesn't mean you're not a good parent.
I totally agree. That's really great advice. I know you said something at the top of the show about where you could be found, but I just want you to do it again at the end. Just let them know where they can find you.
Okay. It's Just Saying Podcast. It's Just Saying Podcast on Instagram, where I'm pretty much there all the time. The podcast is Just Saying and I'm on most platforms by now. And there's a Just Saying Podcast YouTube channel. So if you look for me, you'll see me in all those spaces at the same time.
You guys got to check her out. She's super funny. She's entertaining during the quarantine too. So if you,
oh my gosh,
if you hop on the Facebook Live, you're going to see her doing something funny, some trivia, some games, something.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's under Danny Rice. I do a lot of, I do the games on Instagram under Cass She Cute Though, CASSSHECUTETHO. I'll send that to you though, because it's a lot of S's in there. But it's under Cass She Cute Though. I definitely do a lot of games and things to try to help with anxiety and, you know, during this quarantine time.
Look, I love tuning into a good live of some trivia, some games. So keep doing it because it's helping me out. And I'll post
all
of her information in the show notes, guys. Thank you so much for joining me again today. And Danny, thank you so much for being so transparent.
Oh, thank you. No problem.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the Melanated Mom Podcast. Let's stay connected. Read my blogs over at melanatedmom.com. Stay connected with me on Facebook at melanated-mom, on IG at Melanated Mom Podcast, and my new Twitter account at melanatedmom1. Talk to you soon.